Okay, welcome back everybody to our learning at Sha'arei. We are learning L'Ilui Nishmas as well as the Zecher Nishmas, Mirim Fron, Mirim Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom. Hashem should have an aliyah in the merit of our continuous learning of Torah. So I just want to clarify an issue that came up last week, even though the Rabbitson's not here, and some people who were here last week are not here, but nevertheless I will clarify with everybody so that we are all on the same page. I actually sent the email to some people. Did I send anyone here the email with the clarification? Yes? No? Yes?
I got it. Yeah.
So I gave over an insight last week. I brought the book in. I was not making it up, which I said last week. I said, I am not making this up. Okay? I brought the sefer in this evening. The insight that I shared last week was told over by Rabbi Chaim Sabata, who was born in Cairo, 1952, from a long line, descended from a long line of rabbis from Aleppo, Syria. His family moved to Israel when he was five. He was a tank gunner in the IDF, fought in the Yom Kippur War. He co-founded and taught yeshiva in Yeshiva Birkat Moshe in Male Adumim. Okay? He quotes his grandfather, Rabbi Aaron Shweka, from Aleppo. That's where I heard the insight. The insight that we shared was that when, I'm just recapping, not everybody was here, okay? When Yaakov Avinu has his famous dream, and he wakes up and he says, Achein yesh vayikatz, and he wakes up and he's like jostled from his sleep, and he says, Manorah hamakom hazeh, this place is so awesome, it's so holy, Zashar Shemaim, it's the gateway to heaven, and he says, Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, v'anochi lo yadati, behold, God is in this place, and I did not know. The Medrash tells us that Yaakov was having this dream, the angels were going up and down the ladder, and he saw a vision of the Merkava, the Kisei HaKavod, so to speak, the heavenly throne, and upholding the holy throne, he saw images on the holy throne. The images he saw on the holy throne were Achein, Aleph, Aryeh, lion. Please forgive me if you were here and you heard it already. Kruv, Nesher. So there was a lion, a cherub, an eagle. And then the Yud is Yaakov. So he says, Achein, Yesh Hashem. God is in this place. I know that the Aryeh, the Kruv, and the Nesher, the lion, the cherub, and the eagle hold up God. But Anochi, there's a Yud. I didn't know I, a human being, can also, so to speak, hold up the image of God in this world. So this insight is told over by Chaim Sabato in the name of his grandfather, Rabbi Aaron Shweka from Aleppo. Beautiful. I did not know. I, Yaakov, the Yud of Anochi, had the power to bear the chariot of God's glory in this world, to reveal his greatness, just as the Chayos HaKodesh do on high, just like the eagle, the lion and the cherub hold up the image of God, so too I, mortal man, can hold up the image of God. It's a beautiful insight. So the Rabbitson was here, Rabbitson Kalish. So she said the fourth image on the Maaser Merkava. If you listen to last week's shiur, you will hear this whole thing. The fourth image on the Maaser Merkava is not a cherub, kruv, it's a shor, an ox. So someone said the Rabbitson teaches this. So I said, I believe you, but I'm just quoting from the Sefer. Anyway, very much thank you to the Rabbitson who went home and emailed me. She clarified with her husband. They are both correct because the Gemara discusses this in Maseches Chagiga Yud Gimel. The Gemara in Tractate Chagiga 13b tells us, and I'm just resolving what we discussed last week, and then we're moving on. I don't want to start having a whole discussion again about Yaakov and his dream. That's not the point of today's class. I'm simply clarifying a stira, a contradiction that came up last week, and I want to, and hopefully people listen to last week's shir will also listen to this week's shir, so they can, oh, the Rabbitson is here. Rabbitson, I'm clarifying what we were discussing last week. I'm just up to the part where I told over the insight quickly. I said my thanks to the Rabbitson for clarifying with Rabbi Kalish for us and getting back to us. Okay. So the Gemara then says, that from quoting Yechezkel, one pasuk says, there was the face of a man, I'm not going to tell you the Lashon inside because it's going to take too long, Udmus Pneim Pnei Adam, they see the likeness of the face of a man, Aryeh, Shar, that's what the Rabbinson said, and then the Gemara says, and they also saw Adam, Aryeh, Nesher, and then a kruv. So the Gemara says, how could it be a kruv? Is it a kruv? One place says it's a kruv, cherub, and one place says it's a shor, an ox. So which is it? In other words, there's two different psukim, and in one pasuk it is the shor, and in the other pasuk it is the kruv. So the Gemara says, what is it? Reish Lakish resolves this contradiction, reconciles two verses that seem to contradict each other, and says, Yechezkel bikesh alav rachamim. Yechezkel was davening for mercy, v'hafacho l'kruv, that the ox, which represents chet ha'igel, So the Gemara goes on to say, Kategor Yaseh Sanegor, the prosecutor, can it act as a defender? Can something that we sinned with, the shor, the ox, which remembers, which will recall, so to speak, before the Almighty, the sin of Ega HaZahav, can that be our defense? So Yechezkel davened that the shor should be changed into a kruv. The kruv represents what, of course? The love of Hashem with Knesset Yisrael over the Aron Kodesh. Pneim ish al achiv, says the Pasuk. When Hashem faces us, and what's in the Aron? Torah. So he davened that the Midas Hadin, so to speak, should be changed to Midas Harachamim, so that the shor representing Egel should not be recalled before the Ribbono Shel Olam. The same reason the Kohen Gadol took off Bigdei Zahav when he did the Yom Kippur Avoda in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Let's go. So with that, and I said I don't want to get into a whole other discussion about it now. Now, because let's go move on with our class, please. Okay. I'm already warm. I've been talking for 2 minutes. Okay. Page 82 at the bottom, please. Okay. Is this on airplane mode? Yes. Page 82 at the bottom. Contemplation through illustration. Let us imagine right now, Moshe. So one of the things that we're speaking about very much is the talking to Hashem and realizing Hashem is right here with us. Again, we've reiterated over the past 2 weeks that just because you can't see something, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It means you can see it, but it exists very much so. Excuse me. Let us imagine right now Moshe Rabbeinu is in this room. Imagine. It's hard to imagine. But imagine you have the privilege to sit with him and talk to him. I can't even imagine that. Like imagine more Hashem than Moshe Rabbeinu. But imagine that someone on the stature of Moshe himself is in this room. Suddenly we see him lift his arm. And from the movement of the arm, it seems he is shaking someone else's hand. We look around. We don't see anybody. Top page 83. So we say, whose hand did you shake? So Moshe Rabbeinu would tell us, Eliyahu Navi, if such words would come explicitly from the mouth of Moshe, anyone with simple amuna pashuta, just simple faith, would believe Eliyahu is present here. You would have no problem doubting that Eliyahu and Navi is here. We open the door. On Pesach, we have Amunah Peshuta that just because Shvoch HaMascha Alagayim, yes, and if we talk about now Shvoch HaMascha Alagayim, we're in everything's up to Hashem. Always. But we need a daven for a lot of Rachum now. We need a daven that the Shor should become the Kruv. That any possible din should be turned into Rachamim. Even they told the kids in school, I was surprised. They told my daughter's in 9th grade and my boys are in 6th grade in Darche, and they said that my freshmen, I think they said, made an announcement for davening that they should daven for Achein Bnei Yisrael, especially in Eretz Yisrael. This was in the morning. My son told me they're in 6th grade, they're still 11, that they usually say Tachanun Alon, begging for mercy before God, but that they all said it slowly and together. And our freshman said, we're all going to, did your son tell you?
He was talking about it, but he didn't tell me the details.
And my daughter also told me that they spoke about it as well. So everything's from Hashem. Why did I even say that? Because Amunu Peshuta, Hashem is always here, and we believe. Why did I say that? I know why I said that. Because I'm talking about Eliyahu Navi, and we open the door on Pesach, Shvoch Hamascha Alagayim. That's the last thing I said. It means, God, pour out your wrath upon the nations who do not know your name. Which led me to talk about the situation in the months of today vis-a-vis Eretz Yisrael. You know, like, Jerusalem's our capital, whether we get the Haskama from the President of the United States or not. Okay. Such words would come explicitly from the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu. Anyone with simple faith would believe, in fact, oh, is President Eliyahu Navi is right here. If an ordinary person would say something, if I tell you I'm talking to Eliyahu Navi, you would say, not only am I fantasizing, you would say I'm a crazy person. That's a normal person. But Moshe Rabbeinu is on a much higher level than Eliyahu Navi. Is there any doubt he could see Eliyahu Navi? The Gemara talks about different times when Eliyahu Navi appeared. Of course he could see him. Anyone would believe Moshe Rabbeinu if he said Eliyahu Navi is here in him. Just because you can't see him doesn't mean you don't believe Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm trying to think of an example even when we see that in the Chumash. Could we say that by Kriyas Yamsuf? In Perek Yudalad, before the sea split, so Moshe Rabbeinu said to the people, Moshe Rabbeinu says, the people are very afraid, and Moshe says, stand by. He's asked me, what does he say? Uru'u. Moshe said, stand by, the people on the shores of the Reed Sea. And the water's here, and the people are here, and the Egyptians here, and they don't see any salvation before them. So Moses says to them, stand by and see the salvation of God. What does that indicate? He had the foresight. He was already able to visualize and perceive. To him, it was real. They're screaming, Ma titzak Eli. So Hashem says, the Gemara says, so to 37a, what are you screaming to me? Speak to the people, Hashem said to Moshe, the Yisu, they have to travel forth. And Moshe encouraged them, can you see the salvation of God? Moshe Rabbeinu could actually see it. Similarly, the Medrash tells us when Avram Avinu was walking, Vayaris HaMakom Mirachok, he sees Mount Moriah, talking about Temple Mount. He sees Mount Moriah from afar, and he says to the lads walking with him, Eliezer and Yishmael, don't you see the cloud on the mountain, the specialness of the place? Medrash says, and they said, we don't see it. So does it mean it didn't exist, or it means they couldn't see it? There was a Kedushas HaMakom, a sanctity of the place. Avram could perceive it. They could not see it. Shvulachem po im hachamar. You ate here with the donkey. He was saying to them, you're like the donkey. That's your level of kedusha. Interesting, vis-a-vis today's goings on. You stay here. I'm going to the place of holiness. Similarly, when Moshe saw the sneh, the Medrash says, talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw the burning bush, and the Medrash says he was with Azra shepherds, and he said to them, don't you see? And they said, see what? And he said, there's a bush burning here, says the Medrash. It's on fire, and it's not being consumed. You don't see? And they said, we don't see. So there's different levels of Kedusha, clearly, from these examples that we're giving. Kriyas Yamsuf, Moshe was able to visualize that it's mamash split. Don't you see it split? And the people are screaming. What are you screaming? You're going to be okay. Moshe could see the snap. Avraham Avinu could see the Kedusha on her, Maria, that other people cannot see. We had a fascinating, 1-hour-long breakfast last week, Erev Shabbos, just because I brought up Harho Maria, and today, with the head of Zaka. What's his name? Zahava, Meshi Zahavi? Meshi Zahavi? The head of Zaka. So we had an hour-long breakfast with him last week, actually, in Los Angeles. We were staying at the same hotel, so we ended up walking to breakfast, and we sat down with them. Fascinating, just because I brought Harho Maria, it's not really related. But it is related, because we see Kedusha in a place. What does Avraham Avinu seeing Kedusha and Harho Maria symbolize? That we see an inherent Kedusha. And what do they see? They don't see it. He was with Yishmael. He said to Yishmael and Ezra, do you see it? We don't see anything. So he says, good. Me and the boy, Yitzchak, will go to the place. We will worship there. Then we'll come back to you. So he told us something unbelievable. He told us many unbelievable. The shilas that come up was a fascinating hour. Fascinating. For example, the Dolphinarium attack. I don't know if anyone remembers the Dolphinarium attack. It was on a beach club in Tel Aviv, and it was a Friday night. 21 mostly Russian immigrant youths were killed. What's the shayla? Could Zaka clean up on Shabbos? Rachman Otzan, the bodies are mukta. There's no pikuach nefesh, no one was alive. They were blown to smithereens. You could look it up. Remember when it happened, Dolphinarium. So into Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, Shlita, son of Rav Yashav, tremendous posek, gadol. So they asked Rav Zilberstein, what could we do? So he said, you could clean up, because it's pikuach nefesh for people walking in the street. Because if you leave the bodies in the street, said Rav Zilberstein, it was mamish, you could go to the boardwalk now in Tel Aviv and see right where it was. It's pikuach nefesh for other people. So you could clean up, not because it's pikuach nefesh for the bodies. There's no pikuach nefesh on the bodies. The niftarim are mukta, rachman aletzam. But you could clean up for the other people. So I said, what about the Solomon attack? Rachman aletzam, they just they sealed the house. They couldn't clean up. Zaka could not go into Motzei Shabbos. There was no pikuach nefesh. It was in the house. It was an enclosed territory. There was nothing to clean up from. They were not permitted to clean up. It was Friday night. There was no pikuach nefesh. They took out the injured. The mother was injured. And they had to leave it till Motzei Shabbos. That was one shaila you told us about. Another shaila, Rahman's son, he said they deal with anything other than natural deaths. They have about 30 cases a week. Car accidents, Chaman-san suicides. They went into one house where there's a crib death. It was Shabbos, so technically they can't take out the baby. So he said to the Rav, what's a mother? How's a mother? We should never know. I'm going to tell the mother they can't have the baby. He said it's like the fifth Shulchan Aruch Lishailas. So they put a challah on the baby to carry out the niftar. What?
That's what we learned.
I can't hear you.
We learned that they did the same thing with David HaMelech, was Nifter. They put a challah on him.
So maybe that's where the psak was from. I'm just telling you a few of the... By the way, do not take one single word of Piskei Halacha from anything I am saying. I am telling you some of what was related to me by him. Do not take any Piskei Halacha from anything I'm saying. We should never know from such shailas. So why I bring up? Because I'm talking about Har Maria. I need someone to tell me Har Maria is Kadosh. I need someone from the Ummos to Olam to say, oh, it's a holy place. Really? I didn't know it was a holy place. When Avraham Avinu named it Hashem Yeira'ah by the Akedah. So I need someone to stand up today and say, oh, Yerushalayim is yours. I need someone to tell me Yerushalayim is mine. Everyone's so excited. Did you all get the WhatsApp? You know how many people I got it from? It happens to be a beautiful Baal Turim in this week's Parsha. But why am I relating it to President Trump? You think that's what the Baal Turim, the Torah, the Rishon, had in mind when he wrote the Baal Turim? Trump? Really? I need his Askama. Avram said, you see the holiness? So I said, no, we don't see it. So he said, stay here. I'm going to worship. So I asked him when those two soldiers were killed on Har HaBayis, if you remember a few months ago. I remember it was in the news at the time about Zako going up to Har HaBayis. So they went to Rav Neb and Sal Shlita. Admei Vasim Shana, the Rav of the Old City. So they asked Rav Neb and Sal what to do. It's a big shaila. Because again, I'm only relating what I was told. There is nothing halachic being said here. So they asked Rav Neb and Sal what they should do. So he said, on the one hand, it's forbidden to go up to Har HaBayis. On the other hand, if anyone goes up to Har HaBayis, it should be Kohanim. They get precedence in terms of going up to Har HaBayis. But a Kohen is not allowed to be Tamei Meis. A Kohen, a priest, is not allowed to become in contact with a dead person. The only reason that Zaka needs to go onto Temple Mount at this point is because there are two dead, Rahman al-Itzlan, Israeli Jewish police officers. So what should they do? So Rav Neb and Sal said the Kohanim have to go up. More than a regular person, they have to go to the mikvah, take off their shoes, cut their hair, all the procedures that Kohanim have to do before they serve. And Zaka has a unit of Kohanim, special if there are incidents, Rahman Sam, we should not know, especially considering what's going on now, Hashem is in charge. Zaka has a unit of Kohanim who are special. They don't have nothing to do with the work of Zaka because they're not allowed. But if there's an incident on Har HaBayis, Chalila, who's going to go out? So could you imagine the steer? So that's from Nevin Sal Paskin. So they mamish have a unit just for Har HaBayis of Kohanim, who are not allowed to be Tamei Meis. But they're the ones who are supposed to go up to Har HaBayis. You want to hear one more? One more, Shaila? It was just unbelievable. Yeah. One more, Shaila. I don't know if you remember that a building collapsed in Tel Aviv. They were building. And I remembered it because there was a video, it's on a Route 7, of Zaka singing Havdalah Motzei Shabbos at the site. I don't know if anyone saw. It was beautiful. He said to me, yeah, we were there. It was so moving. It was such a Kiddush Hashem. So as the Shaila, four people were killed when the building collapsed. Two Jewish workers, and two Arab workers. So can they search on Shabbos? Absolutely. Because what are they looking for? Two Jews. They found two bodies. He said the bodies were very crushed, Rahman al-Atsan. They need positive identification. But they're pretty sure, based on what they saw, and he didn't get explicit, but based on what they saw, that they thought that they were Jews. So what's the Shaila now?
Can you keep looking?
What?
Can you keep looking?
Can we continue searching? Because it's Shabbos. In other words, they're searching for what might be pikuach. I shouldn't have said four people died. Four people were missing in the collapse. That's what I should have said. They didn't know what happened to them. It's possible until you find the bodies that what? Those people are alive. So it's a situation of pikuach nefesh. So pikuach nefesh. Saving a life pushes off everything, even the sanctity of Sabbath. So they're looking to potentially save two Jewish lives. So they're searching, which is totally allowed. It's totally mutter. Now they find two bodies that they are pretty sure are the Jews. And there are only four people missing. And they find what they think are Jews. So could they keep searching? So the psak was yes, because the cameras are on you, the whole world is watching you. What are you going to say? We found the Jews, and now we're not going to search? And now there's going to be pikuach nefesh for everybody else. So they were allowed to keep searching. He said, it's like the fifth Shulchan Aruch, these halachos, they're shaylos that never were. We never had such a situation where anybody could even go onto Temple Mount. Who should go? It's just unbelievable. So Hashem Mishmar, do we need someone to tell me that Eliyahu HaNavi is there? Do I need someone to tell me that the Kodesh HaKadashim is the Kodesh HaKadashim? Do I need someone to tell me that our bayis is holy? Rav says he was once talking to a certain assimilated Jew, Rav Soloveitchik, and the man went to the Kotel for the first time. So the Rav says, so how was it? What are your impressions? So the man said it was a wall, the Western Wall, for the first time. So the man said it was a wall like any other wall. So Rav Soloveitchik says, we have to feel the Kedusha. We have to be in tune to the holiness. I have to feel the sanctity of the place. Vayaras ha-makom me-rachok, it says about Avraham Avinu. What's makom, a name for? The Ribbono Shel Olam, makom, place, is not only geographic place. Place is one of the names of God. Abraham saw God from afar. He realized where he was journeying to. He realized what he was going to sacrifice. He knew where he was going to worship. Okay. Page 83, middle of the page.
Michal,
oh, yes.
I didn't mean to startle you. The assimilated Jew who said it was a wall like any other wall.
Yes.
That is such an out there comment that I have to wonder, was this person maybe very distracted or depressed or angry at somebody else? I don't know. Maybe
it's just possible.
Not focused.
You're saying, how could someone say that?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. It's very nice. Maybe had a chip on his shoulder. I don't know.
Because that's off. I mean, it's very... That's off. It's a...
Okay.
Off.
Okay. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehi abed v'ol.
Amen.
Since I mentioned the Baal term, did everyone see the WhatsApp already? This expression. It's really cool because I just gave a shiur yesterday on Tamar and Yehuda. We went to the whole... Parak, and I was very excited when I saw this Baal term because it really relates to what I was teaching. It was very interesting. And that's not why they're sending it around. But let me just tell you what the Baal term says. It's a beautiful Baal term. I should have brought Mikros Kudos with me, but I didn't, so I'm just going to tell you from my phone. But Tamar is sitting at the crossroads. This is like less than Al-Raga Achas. She's waiting to have relations with her father-in-law Yehuda. By the laws of Yibum, Levirate marriage, she is not allowed to be with anybody outside, the family of Yehuda, Judah, unless they release her. They have not released her, okay? She sits at the crossroads dressed up. It's Perek Laminchas, chapter 38. Pasuk Tesva, verse 15, tells you, Vayer'eh Yehuda, Yehuda sees her. Her father now comes and he sees her. Vayach shevel zona. Oh, you were in the class. So listen to this. He thinks she is a harlot. He thinks she is a prostitute. Kikisisa panesh. She hid. Because if he would have known who it was, he wouldn't have been with her. He would have said, two sons already died with you, so I'm not laying with you. Whatever. Regalachas, I just want to share the Baal Turim. It says, Vayach shevel lezona. The Baal Turim very, very much connects words in Navi and in Chumash. When you see one word and you see another word, that means there's a connection. So the Baal Turim says, Vayach shevel lezona. Yehuda thinks his daughter-in-law Tamar is a prostitute. And it also says about Yerushalayim Echa Haisa lezona. If you remember Megillas Eicha, Ha'ir and Amana, how could it be that the faithful city has become like a harlot? It says Zona by Tamar, it says Zona by Yerushalayim, so the Baal Turim is telling you there's a connection between the two times it says Zona. What is the connection? Ma Tamar Tchilasa Bibizayon, just like by Tamar, the beginning was in shame. She had to hide, she had to pretend to be a prostitute. She sat at the crossroads, they're taking her out to be burned, Ule Basof, and the Sof, Bekavod. And then she has the greatest honor. What's the greatest honor that comes to Tamar? She births Paras and Zerach. Who comes from Yehuda? Malach HaMashiach, King David and the Messiah. In the beginning, though, it's a Bizayon. She's like a Zona. Yehuda thinks she's a Zona. He sends the goat and he says, where's the prostitute who sat at the crossroads? And they say, there's no prostitute who sat at the crossroads. What do you mean? We can't even find her. And after 3 months, they say, you know what? Your daughter-in-law is pregnant by Znunim, by prostitution. Take her out to be burned. In the beginning, it's a Bizayon. In the end, she's the greatest kavod. What does it have to do with Eicha Haisa Lezona? How could Jerusalem become a Zona? Laments Yirmiyahu. Af Yerushalayim. So to Yerushalayim. Sofo bekavod. In the end, Yerushalayim will have her glory. Kedichsiv ulekavod ehaya besocha nu'um Hashem. Hashem promises Yerushalayim has her chorban, Yerushalayim has her destruction. And in the end, Hashem promises that she will have her kavod. So why is this going around? Because people are saying now Yerushalayim has her kavod. You think that's what God means? when President Trump stands up and says, we recognize Jerusalem, that's the cover of Yerushalayim. It's horrifying. All right, let's go on. Page 83, in the middle. I'm not even saying anything, I'm not even saying. My heart's like pounding. Like if you put your hand here, you'll feel my heart. That's a kavod. That's what Hashem means.
We're hoping that this is the portent of good things to come.
Halavai. Halavai.
The way these things
halavai.
Are shown, though, unfortunately,
what are you talking about?
I'm saying, you know, I had the same reaction you did, because you were sort of saying, like, you hope that people don't have to die for this kavod that
correct.
We already know.
That's,
without that, like, you know, like,
exactly.
Right, is there going to be terrible things to come because of it?
We surely hope not, but I don't know.
History tells us otherwise.
Yes, we hope that there will be besuras tovas from this. Yes. But that's not what the prophet's talking about when he says to the covet Eya Besocha, that God will be in honor at the end. This is not the honor that we're talking about.
I don't think that whoever sent, I got it also. I don't think that people,
you don't think people believe it? I don't agree with you.
And it's
I think people
it's
do
kind
believe
of
it.
Coincidental also that it's in this week's parsha. I just think it's of
okay.
interest.
The Rabbitson wanted to say something. Rabbitson, could you speak louder for me?
Yes, sure. But last week's parsha, we have with what Shimon and Levi did, and Yaakov was upset about it because he's like, you know, the pasuk near the end of the parsha when
they kill Shechem, the people of Shechem.
Right, and then they have the last part of Chazon Yaseh Yaakov Sein.
Right.
So really, Yaakov's taina was really right that. He will be, you know, people, the Amin will start attacking him.
Okay.
Because of
what they did. They slaughtered the town.
But then a few psukim later, it says that Hashem didn't let that happen.
Okay.
So I just think there's maybe a similarity also over here. I'm not sure exactly I get what, you know, what the problem is, you know, what's upsetting you about it. But, you know, sometimes...
I think that being very excited because we're told that Jerusalem is our capital is maybe, it's just my opinion. Mm. Obviously, it's one person's opinion. I'm expressing my opinion through the lens of perceiving the Kedushas Hamakom. So I'm not sure why we're so excited that somebody from the Ummah Sa'olam said that Jerusalem's our capital. We didn't know that for all these years. Right, that's what you're saying. Hashem's in charge. Be'ezros Hashem. Be'ezros Hashem, we should be safe and well.
It seemed like with Shechem also, that what they did in Shechem was detrimental to...
But in the end, it wasn't.
In the end, it wasn't because why? Really, it would have been up to Peter. That few psukim later, it says that, you know, that Hashem didn't allow it, the Amin, to start up.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, you're right. Be'ezros Hashem, we will be protected. And there's always dangerous times. I'm not talking about the outcome. Be'ezros Hashem will be important for good things. And the Ribbono Shel Olam will watch over us. I'm just specifically talking about... Okay, I said it already. Yes.
Dr. Zavigal, I think that people are nervous, but I think they're finding a little reassurance in this Balaturim that it happens to be the same week. And I think someone pointed out that it's in the fourth Aliyah, it's on the fourth day of the week, that... Maybe it's not going to be a terrible thing. Maybe it will portend something a little bit less ominous, hopefully.
Okay.
You know, actually, talk about the Megillah, let's say, like, you know, Megillah's Esther, that sometimes, like, I mean, everyone, the kings, everyone are puppets in Hashem's hands, and are hoping that this is going to be something positive with a lot of, I mean, everyone has a lot of trepidation. It's, you know, but you're hoping that it's going to be
something positive.
I agree. Chas v'sham. I'm not implying in any way, shape, or form it should be negative. I agree. I'm just... Okay, I said my piece. Everyone has their own opinion. We heard some other opinions. Let's go on. Okay? Page 83, middle of the page. I'm not saying that in a condescending fashion. I'm being serious. I said my piece quoting some Torah sources. Maybe it's some food for thought to counterbalance some of the very much excitement. You know, somebody said to me it's like watching the Six-Day War again, the great Yeshua. Just a different perspective. If you don't like it, we do not have to agree at all. Okay, it's not Torah, it's not Halacha, I am bringing some Torah sources. I told you a little bit about the meeting with the head of Zaka. Okay, Elishava, you want to say something? Go ahead, you didn't say anything.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, it's we could say we think it's positive. I was just telling, like, when you read how it's presented in the news, like, it's just, it really is very scary, you know, like,
right.
He's not considered an authority by most people.
He's not considered.
He's not considered a very well-respected person in most quarters. So
thank you. That's why I'm saying. Is that what the Balaturim is referring to?
It feels like another case of him flying off the handle and doing something without warning, without planning, without thinking, without, you know, that could just cause so much. You know, they're already interpreting what's going to happen before it happens.
Okay, so maybe someone's helping me explain my sentiments here. So which is why I went back to Baal Turim. It's very nice. It's in this week's Parsha. Just you could share the Baal Turim. We just have to have the proper perspective when we share it. That's all. I just think that
they announced what he said. The same headline says derailing the Mideast peace process. You know, that's like how, like, whether that's an interpretation or, you know, like, nothing happened yet, but.
Listen, ladies, the United States is very afraid. They have told all their embassy workers in the Middle East region not to leave the embassies tomorrow. All the children in the United States, I'm not talking about in Israel, I'm talking about in the Middle East, have all the children of Americans in the embassies are not allowed to leave the embassies. They are right now grounded. They cannot go to schools. They cannot leave. Clearly, people realize there are implications, but I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about the perception that now there is an enhanced level of kavod to Jerusalem. That's my whole point. There's an enhanced level of somehow covered to Yerushalayim because of this declaration. If you don't agree, it's fine.
I don't think that anybody thinks that Trump is adding covered to Yerushalayim.
I don't agree with you. I don't. Maybe nobody here thinks that.
I don't
agree with you. I think that people are very excited, and I think that people do think it adds a level of honor to Jerusalem. I don't agree with you. Let's go. Page 83. We're still on page 83. How many times have I said page 83? Does anyone want to say anything does anyone else want to say anything further that has not been said? Or who has not spoken and would like to speak? Yes.
This reminds me a little bit of, like, the Megillas Esther story.
Say it again.
It reminds me of the Megillas Esther story that, like, we're putting, that, like, when Esther sends Mordechai to say, you know, send everyone to go fast, and I'm going to go have a party with Ahasuerus and Haman, and all the Jews have to realize that, like, they can't rely on Esther. It feels very similar, that, like, we feel like we can be placing, like, the kavod or the feeling of Yerushalayim in an embassy or in a building that doesn't have to do with Yiddishkeit, and then, but really, like, I feel like we should be kind of just, like, taking a different stance on it. I feel like it's, like, almost a sign to us more, like, okay, we can't be relying on what's happening in the news. Like, it's just a reinforcement.
Okay, so that's a totally different approach. Anything else that people say? Okay, let's go. Anything else?
Maybe we should be fasting.
We're not Rabbanim. Okay. Page 83. Once again, page 83. This faith would not only be in the mind. What faith are we talking about? That Moshe Rabbeinu saw Eliyahu and Navi, and you're in the room, and you didn't see him. Okay? It would not only be in the mind, the soul would be completely convinced that Eliyahu HaNavi is here. If you were like mamish with Moshe, and Moshe told you something, you would not have a doubt in your mind, even if you didn't see. And Moshe Rabbeinu says so, it must be a fact. He didn't merely say so. We saw clearly his hand reaching out to grasp a hidden hand. The act indicated Eliyahu HaNavi is indeed here. Like, you know, he shook somebody else's hand. Clearly Moshe is not hallucinating. He's Moshe Rabbeinu. What are they saying at the end? Do they want to say it out loud? Do you want to say? No, I'm asking you seriously. No? Okay. understand, the faith that Hashem is here is simpler and clearer than the faith that Eliyahu is here in the above example. You know, it's interesting, because since we've been learning this section these past three to four weeks, so it might sound silly, it's a very personal thing, but I'm going to share it. Let's say sometimes when I would talk to Hashem, I'm not talking about during tefillah, but just during private bakasha, private supplication, so I sort of like tend to, I've noticed, like look up. But now I realized I should be looking across the table, not up. Hashem's right here. And Chazal says he's over the head of a chola. We're coming up to Parshas Vayikhi, that God's presence rests over the head of a sick person. It doesn't mean up there. It means kaviyachol, so to speak, that the Shekhinah, the divine presence, is right here. Not somewhere light years away that I need to look up. Yeah.
In Kriyat Shema, you say, Val Roshi Shekhinah Skel.
By Kriyat Shema, you say?
You say, the Al Roshi Shekhinah Skel, that the Shekhinah is on top of your...
Right. Oh, you mean Kriyat Shema Alamita?
Yeah.
Right, right here.
I think it's okay.
Right here. What did he say?
I'm going to pass in. I think it's okay to look up.
I'm not saying it's not okay. No. I'm saying to drive home, I'm saying myself, I'm realizing, like, of course it's okay to look up, that Hashem is right here. Right here. The Salvatrix says... Time went too fast tonight. Rav Soloveitchik says, there are times, Tshuva Drasha, 1970, there are times, published in Al Tshuva, there are times when I learn Torah very late at night. All as is well known, the night is especially beneficial for the study of Torah, Kohen Mesechus Avodah Zarah. The Torah we master at night is clearer and sharper in our minds. There are times at night when I feel as if the divine presence is standing beside me, bending to look over my shoulder, to peer into the Gemara with me, to look at the topic I'm studying at that moment. He nods his head in agreement with the Ha'ara I'm attempting to develop. If I had been able to survive what has happened to me during the past 3 years, since my wife died in Adar 5727, the year of his triple mourning, it is only because I relate to the principle of Torah min Hashamayim, not merely as an article of faith, but as a living and tangible reality. Not something that you know it's faith up here, so therefore I believe, I have Emunas Chachamim since I'm a young child, so I believe in my head that it's Emes. No, it's a living and tangible reality. The Ribbono Shel Olam is right across the table from me. When I need something from the Ribbono Shel Olam and I'm davening from the depths of my heart, I don't need to look up to the highest heavens. Lo b'shamayim hi, lo me'ever layami. Krova elacha hadavar me'ol b'ficho uvavavcha la'asoso. It's not over the oceans. It's not in the sky, says Moshe Rabbeinu. It's right very close to you. He's peering over your shoulder. What can I do for you? I'm right here. Here's another example, bottom of page 83. Why smile? You want to say something about
that? No, I'm just thinking back. This is just funny and silly. I was at work, and a very nice couple, you know, just stopped in to say hello, and they told me they're running home because they want to catch President Trump speaking. And to me, like...
So you see?
So it's a proof of yours, but I don't think that anybody... let's call it an exciting moment. I don't think anyone thinks, oh, the Yeshua is coming from there. The kavod is coming from there. I just don't think
so. No, but they do
so.
Think there's an hour and add or measure, because someone else shared something similar with me. They were in the middle of doing something. They stopped what they were doing to go watch. Okay, let's go on. Here's another example. Talmid Chacham is sitting in his living room. He's sitting on the chair with his shtender before him. He's engrossed, his lectern, in his study. Suddenly, someone comes from behind and places his hand on his shoulder. It's so funny because Rav Soloveitchik says when he learns Torah, that's how he feels. It's Hashem. He's startled. He says to his friend who just entered, I didn't hear you come in. My daughter just told me today. They were sitting in the classroom, three girls, and they heard the intercom, and they didn't know if it was a lockdown intercom or not. And when they do lockdown, Nebuch, when I grew up, it was fire alarms. Rachmana Litzlan, the world we live in, it's now lockdowns. Mm-hmm. And they tell the children, if you're in the hallways, don't try and get into the classroom. Now, this is what the kids say have to go through. Don't try and come into the classroom. You will not be allowed in. Go into the bathroom. Stand on the stall so that your feet are not showing and lock the stall door. Don't try and get into the room. Everyone lines up against the wall. They pull down the shade. You're not allowed to make a sound. And apparently they weren't taking it seriously enough because they got a big talking to at the last lockdown, Joe, very, very harshly, very explicit. This is not a joke. You cannot laugh. You will be severely punished. You will be suspended from school. You cannot move during a lockdown drill. Because if it's real and you're laughing, Hashem Yishmar Aleinu, then it's mamash your life. And she was very scared. So today she told me, which they were trying to do, because we live in a world where you need to be scared. So they told me to, she told me today, there were three girls right by the door. One, two, and my daughter. And they heard the intercom, and they thought it was a lockdown. It wasn't a lockdown, but right at that moment, someone in black entered the room, a male in black, and it was the principal. But the two girls thought it was so real. They screamed, ah, they thought, so she was laughing. She goes to tag, the principal laughed. He said, I have that effect on people. It was a joke. He was trying to lighten the situation. But sometimes you're startled, and the friend enters, and he said, I didn't hear you come in. I'm so engrossed in what I was doing. I didn't realize someone came in. What can we derive from this example? It was possible for someone to enter, walk around the whole room, even make noise, and the Talmud Chacham didn't hear. The wise scholar didn't in here. How is this possible? He was so engrossed in his learning that he's not hearing. We're not alert to the fact of Hashem's presence. We're not alert. One may ponder these examples and say to Hashem, although I cannot with my bodily senses perceive your presence, I believe and wish to believe even more. You're right here. This is an example for striving of the state of Pitachov Gimel. Gam ki eilech begeitz amaves lo ira ra ki ata imadi. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall feel no evil because you are with me. So in other words, as afraid as we are, when you're a time of evil, when you don't see or perceive the Ribbono Shel Olam, gam ki eilech, even when I walk through the valley of death, I fear no evil, Hashem is with me. I want to end with, because I have 5 minutes, I want to end with a quote from Miriam Peretz, because now whenever I read Kapitel Chaf Gimel, I shouldn't say read, when I say Kapitel Chaf Gimel or see reference to Kapitel Chaf Gimel, I think of Miriam Peretz. I was speaking in LA, spoke to a room full of people. Not one of them heard of Miriam Peretz. So it was worth me coming here for you to know who Miriam Peretz is. Miriam Peretz, if you never heard me speak about her, which is not so possible if we learn together, but okay. She lost her son, Uriel, in 1998 in the north. He was 22, to Hezbollah. And she lost her son, Eli Raz, in the south, in the Gaza Strip, to Hamas, Yimach Shemam Vizichem, at the age of 31. In 2010, he left behind 4 Yisomim. The author writes this. On Shabbat Eve, on Erev Shabbat, hours before the sky becomes orange, Miriam Peretz sets out the candles in the candlesticks. 8 candles, just like before. 6 children, a husband, a wife. 8 candles, even though 3 members of her family are no longer with her. Her husband died at the age of 56 between the death of her 2 sons, she says, of a broken heart. So I reach towards the printed blessings that stand on the shelf, says Miriam. I can't find a blessing that fits. One says, may it be your will that you act compassionately, have mercy on my husband. My husband, Eliezer, couldn't cope with the death of Uriel, and his heart failed. Is that compassion? On the other hand, perhaps God did have mercy and compassion on my husband, because he didn't have to witness the death of our next son, Eliraz. Sometimes I say, act compassionately and have mercy on me, says Miriam. That doesn't fit. I have never prayed for anything for myself. I don't even know what that means. In another prayer book, this has been translated from Ivrit, I find the prayer, God should grant me the privilege of raising children and grandchildren. Ohave Hashem, Yirei Elokim. I feel resentful. I raised my children to be Torah scholars. I raised them to fear God. Why didn't I merit raising them, all of them? As she learned from personal experience, each Shabbat Eve, Arab Shabbat, is different from the ones before. So when none of the blessings fit her that day, she says, protect my children. I recite the names of my children and my grandchildren. Later, I sit down at the table. There's a breeze. It blows out one of the flames. Why? Whose candle was extinguished? The candle represents a person's soul. So every Shabbat is different, says Miriam, like every visit to Har Herzl. Sometimes I get there and I see my sons, Uriel and Eliraz, before me. She sees them. They're not really there. She sees them. She perceives them. I catch my breath. Sometimes the stillness is so profound. I hear the fluttering of a bird's wings, the rustling of a branch, and I think, have I joined my sons in the next world, in Eden? And then sometimes I stand before the stone atop their grave, and it's just the stone, cold and silent. Sometimes I light a candle, I touch the stone, I water the plants. Sometimes I take out the book of Tehillim that I place under the head of each matseva. And each page speaks to me as if that Tehillim was written special for me, Miriam Peretz. And I read, Gam ki eilech begeit salmaves. And I look at heaven, Gam, even when I walk in the valley of death, I am already walking in the valley of death. Lo ira ra, I read, I don't fear evil. I live the verses of Tehillim and take comfort. Maybe it is no accident that God's computer is stuck on the Peretz family. At 2:30 a.m. when Miriam heard the footsteps when her son Eliraz was killed, 2:30 a.m., she opened the second floor window. She saw the three angels. The soldier who was killed last week, Ron Yitzchak Hukia, 19 years old, who was stabbed to death in Arad. After he was stabbed to death, he ran in the street to try and get help. Rahman al-Sani was still alive, 19 years old. If you saw his picture, he looks like a baby. After he was stabbed, Ron Yitzchak Hukia, Shem Yinkom Damo, Rahman al-Sani, a car hit him and injured him further. He was trying to get help after he had been stabbed. His parents said when they arrived at the hospital, they were texting. His mother was texting him. She saw there was an attack in Arad. He wasn't answering his text, so they drove to Soroka Medical Center. And outside the hospital, she saw three officers waiting for her. And she looked at her husband, and she said when she saw the three men, it's our turn. Miriam Peretz says, I saw the three angels, and it brought to mind the angels who visited Avram. She called out to the window, I know. And she said, please, just tell me he was only injured. 12 years later, the three angels returned to Miriam to inform her of the death of Eliraz. They visited our forefather Avram to inform him his wife would bear a son. They came to me to announce my son was no longer alive. In a choked voice, even before I saw them, I closed the door, I pulled the latch, I closed the blinds. I said, no one is coming into this house. I looked at the picture of my husband Eliezer in the hallway. What did you do, Eliezer? What did you do to Eliraz? You went up there to watch over him. When they came in, the three angels, they found the house clean. It was Erev Shabbat HaGadol. It was Erev Pesach. It was ready for Pesach. The table was set for Shabbat. I wouldn't let them talk. Wait a minute, I said. Give me a second. Give me a minute. Miriam, said the angel, I have to do this. Another minute. As long as you don't say it, my son is still alive. Finally, he overcame my resistance and said his piece. Eight candles, eight candlesticks. Should be zocha to see the true kavod. Eicha haisa lezona, that the zona, the bizayon. I just realized, I'm sorry to ruin the mood, but that bizayon and zona are the same shemaresh. That the bizayon, the shame of the zona, the harlot of Yerushalayim, who is a mockery to the umos ha'olam. We will go to the place Vayar Samakam Rachot because we see the presence of the Ribono Sha'ola. Shulacham Po im Hachamar. Stay with the donkey because I don't need anyone to tell me that Yerushalayim is Kadosh. We should be Zocha to see the true Ula Kavod Ehaya Besocha Yerum Hashem. It should be the ultimate Kavod speedily and in our days with a lot of Shalom and Vesoros Tovos. For all of Klal Yisrael, amen, amen. And since I won't see you before we light the first candles, I wish you and all of Klal Yisrael b'chol makom shehem alechtega Chanukah sameach. Thank you, everybody. You won't be having.